Blog Talk Radio.
Loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Heavenly Father, you are present in this ministry and in my life. You alone are all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present. And I worship you and you alone. I declare my dependency on you, for apart from your word which teaches that all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to the resurrected Christ, and being alive in Christ, I have the authority to resist the devil as I submit to you. I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit and guide me into all truth. I ask for your complete protection and guidance as I seek to know you and to do your will. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, I pray. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Lord, I thank you and I bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can shew forth all his praise? Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the Lord God Almighty. Raise your voice and sing. Everyone raise your voice and sing to the Lord. Just say,
thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say, that his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever.
Oh, what a voice is the Lord.
of the House of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you can write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. House of Christ Ministries, Inc. invites you to join our social Christian network. Membership is free. Our social network is dedicated to the Christians throughout the world. Here you can connect with fellow Christians around the globe and witness to the non-believers. Join us in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to impact the world. Visit us at www.myhocm.ning.com. House of Christ Christian Bookstore invites you to join our membership mailing list. We will never rent, sell, or share your email address with any third party. As a registered customer, you're entitled to a number of benefits, including special pricing on the industry's absolute, best prices on your products via email. You will enjoy savings of up to 50% on brand name products from top suppliers, top manufacturers, and more. Visit us at www.HouseOfChristBookstore.com, House of Christ Bible College. You can visit us at www.HouseOfChristBibleCollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., and the Tony Owens Ministries, Inc., at www.ReverseOfRevival.com. House of Christ Ministries, Inc. now support food for the poor. We need your financial support in our effort to raise funds to assist their work. Food for the Poor is helping the poorest of poor in 17 Latin American and Caribbean countries. There are no easy fix when it comes to poverty. Your donation will help to alleviate some of the pressing issues facing the poor. I pray that you will find it in your hearts to give. You can visit us at www.foodforthepoor.org. /Christ Ministries. All donations will be appreciated. All donations are tax deductible under Internal Revenue Code, Section 501c3. If you prefer to mail a check, please make it payable to Food for the Poor, Inc., and it should be mailed to 6401 Lyons Road, Coconut Creek, Florida, 33073. Please write on the check's memo line SC80192 to ensure proper tracking. God bless you as we continue on this spiritual journey. House of Christ Ministries is an apostolic ministry that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ through a variety of mediums, from our radio broadcast every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to our monthly mailing lesson. And to receive our monthly lesson, you can write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. To our distribution of free copies of the Book of John and Romans in English, French, and Spanish. These books can be used for evangelism. To our social Christian network, our online Bible college, our posting of words of the day on numerous websites, our online Christian bookstore. We are reaching thousands throughout the world for Jesus Christ. It is our desire to take the uncompromised and anointed Word of God to the whole world, starting with our local community, bringing lost souls to a practical relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission at House of Christ Ministries is to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and prepare believers and non-believers how to live independently and have dominion to reign over the enemies of this world. We encourage you to sow into this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning souls for the kingdom. Your prayer and financial support are important components to bringing the gospel to the world. If the Lord leads you to support this ministry by giving, it will be an investment in the future of this generation, both for this life and eternity. We ask that you keep us in prayer. Together, we can make a difference. If you would like to send your prayer request or share a testimony or make a donation or love offering, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. All donations are tax deductible under Internal Revenue Code, Section 501c3. As we continue on this spiritual journey, I would like to share our statement of faith with you. We believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible Word of God. We believe that there is one God eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the Church of God, which is in Christ at His return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance, faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and being baptized in water. We believe that regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body in answer to believing prayer. We believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 4, is given to believers who ask for it. We believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy and separated life in this present world. We believe in the Great Commission, according to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following them. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 says, When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord Almighty. True and righteous are all your King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, glorify your
And now I come to thee, and these things I spake in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the word. Continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission. Our lesson for tonight is Biblical Prophetic Principles, Control Spirits, Kingdom Authority, Part 2. Kingdom Authority, Part 1. We examine the God-ordained chain of command that we have over our lives. If we submit to this divine order of leadership, we remain in a position that places us under God's protection and in line for natural and spiritual blessings. In this lesson, we will study a biblical example, a true account showing us what happened in one man's life when he strayed from God's order of authority. We will also explore some reasons that may have contributed to his lapse of judgment. the man of God. 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 through 3 says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, O altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. The Spirit of the Lord sent a prophet from Judah to King Jeroboam to declare judgment against the kingdom's principal altar, where profane sacrifices were being offered up by order of the king. The judgment spoken was exceedingly sobering. The prophecy declared that a particular child would be born in the line of David named Josiah. This child would perform the judgment spoken. He would remove the idolatrous priest that the kings had set up. He would destroy the high places, the groves, parks, and or gardens designed for the gathering and practice of vile and filthy idolatrous worship. And the altar would be polluted, rendered unusable, as he ordered the burning of dead men's bones upon it." Let us look at the previous chapter and see what caused this judgment to be handed down. This is how it began. King Jeroboam sets up the snare of idolatry in Israel. 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 25 through 33 says, "Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king counseled, and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised for his own heart, of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burned incense. Even though God had warned Solomon against the practice of marrying foreign wives, because in trying to please them, he would be led into idolatry, he yet did so. And he did so to such an extent that the Bible accounts to him in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 2 through 13, 700 wives and 300 concubines, just as the Lord had warned against. Solomon's heart was turned away from God when he was old. And with all these women practicing their feminine lures upon him, he gave in to them and built them high places and altars to worship and sacrifice to their own cultural deities. This so displeased God that he promised that Solomon's heir would not inherit the old kingdom of Israel with its 12 tribes intact. He would reign. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 31. The kingdom from his son, Rehoboam, leaving him only one additional tribe, the tribe of Benjamin, beside his own birth tribe, the tribe of Judah. The other 10 tribes would go to Jeroboam, who at that time was an Israelite national hero. Jeroboam was afraid the people of Israel would eventually return to Rehoboam as they went up to Jerusalem, because the national place of worship was in Rehoboam's territory. During the year, there were mandated times of worship, sacrifice and feast days in Jerusalem, and the entire nation at different times would be within Rehoboam's jurisdiction. So Jeroboam spoke to his advisors, since Solomon's temple was in Jerusalem in Rehoboam's territory, maybe they could set up alternate places of worship in other parts of Israel in Jeroboam's territory, redirecting the people to those places. Well, Jeroboam thought this was a good idea and decided he would add a few creative changes, allowing a spirit of Antichrist to influence him. He realized that he could be the initiator of his own religious order in Israel. He was the king. Why not? He has the authority. Not only would he establish two religious centers in his domain, one in Bethel and the other in Dan, he would make two golden calves, one for each cultural center. He would then tell the people that going to Jerusalem was too difficult a trip for them, that he, as their king, had made it convenient for them to worship by placing the gods that had brought them out of Egypt into the new worship centers. He also set up high places of idolatry and appointed a counterfeit priesthood out of the lowest of people to serve in this new religious order. The Lord had specified that the priests who served were to come from the tribe of Levi, for only these had been sanctified, set apart by God to serve him. Then Jeroboam created out of his own heart a counterfeit feast day to take place on the 15th of the 8th month to compete with the God-ordained Feast of Tabernacles that took place in the 7th month. Then he had a big consecration ceremony at Bethel, dedicating the altar there by sacrificing the golden calves he had made with the burning of incense. This included feasting for the children of Israel and the installing of unconsecrated priests at this religious center in Bethel. Possibly, he was trying to replicate what Solomon had done when the temple had been completed in Jerusalem. Jeroboam's response to prophecy. 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 4 through 7 says, "And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Beloved, imagine Jeroboam on his day of triumph, having the very altar he is dedicating, being judged by God's servant who was sent to deliver that message at that specific moment. The Spirit of the Lord was upon the man of God when the king tried to stop him. Jeroboam was immediately reproved for trying to stop the word that God had set in motion. And to show that he was powerless to stop it, God had his outstretched hand dried up in paralysis and stuck in that position. Also, the altar Jeroboam was dedicating split apart, pouring out the ashes of the sacrifices offered thereon as a supernatural seal that the words spoken would surely come to pass. The king, fearful that his infirmity is permanent, asked the prophet to pray for God to restore his hand. He prays, and the hand is restored as before. The king, relieved about his hand, bowing to custom, shown in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 7, invites the prophet to enjoy his royal hospitality. Let us take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 7, which says, Then said Saul to his servant, But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring the man of God. What have we? The prophet refuses. 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 8 through 10 says, "And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou comest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel." Even today, the Lord tells us not to keep company with a Christian brother or sister who knowingly practices sin. We are not to give them the sense of comfort and security that all is well with them. Especially not when God has given them a chance to repent and stop committing that sin, and they refuse to do so. Instead, they continue indulging in it, excusing their continuance as a personal weakness that God understands. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "But now I have written unto you, not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat." Beloved, we as Christians, we are not to keep communion or fellowship with those Christians in willful, rebellious sin. When they have not responded to biblical teaching, godly counsel, or prayer on their behalf, we are no longer obligated to perverse or keep company with them. If we do it, it sends the message that we either approve, condone, overlook, or are common partakers of that sin. While we love them and are concerned about the future consequences, we must discern the spirit they are submitting to and their willingness to yield to its influence and separate ourselves from its corrupting influences. An unexpected deceiver. 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 11 to 18 says, "Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father, and their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen that the way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me an ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Beloved, who is this old man? And why did he go after the man of God? First, was he a prophet? Yes, we have just read that he was. Was he an Israelite? Yes. He was a Hebrew and an Israelite. So he was a countryman and a fellow prophet. He was also the man of God's elder, an older saint in the Lord. But why did he go after the man of God? Hadn't his sons told him that the man of God's words? He had been told directly from God that he couldn't eat, drink, or even leave by the same way he had come. Maybe the old prophet wanted the honor of associating with a man of God, and saw that he could accomplish this by hosting and serving him. Perhaps he could persuade him. Surely, he had to be hungry, thirsty, hot, and tired. Maybe he was even lonely, and a bit of understanding company might do him good. And maybe, if he could persuade the man of God, it would give him legitimacy, maybe even bring a blessing to his household. But for some reason, God had not chosen any of these prophets to deliver the message to the king. Maybe the reason can be seen in the actions of the old prophet. Though the old prophet respected the boldness and anointing upon the man of God, it did not go far enough. Why? Because he did not honor God's mandate upon the man of God to not refresh himself in that place, but instead sought to turn him from his purpose. Secondly, when the man of God did not yield for the physical reasons or appetite, he used a lie to persuade him. If he lied to the man of God and said that God had spoken to him, he would change his mind. Perhaps hearing that he was a prophet and seeing that he was someone to be respected for age and further make the man of God convinced he was telling the truth. Would a fellow prophet and a mother or father in Zion turn you from the Lord's will? Let me ask that question one more time. Would a fellow Christian, a fellow prophet, and a mother or father in Zion turn you from the Lord's will? Unfortunately, as we will see, the answer is sometimes yes, especially when it serves the secret desires of the individual. For even though the old prophet's desire for godly fellowship was genuine, his methods were unrighteous. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 states, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the message of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Warnings to stay obedient to the commandments of the Lord. Let us take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 11, which says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or the dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death, because he had spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare him, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people, and thou shalt stone him with stones, that he die, because he had sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear, and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. A costly mistake. 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 19 through 34 says, so he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, For as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he started for in the house, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his sons, saying, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him, and he went, and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God, and laid it upon the ass, and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. And it came to pass, after he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones, for the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria, shall surely come to pass. And after this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places, whosoever would. He consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off, and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. Beloved, have you ever followed or heeded someone who you felt was older, wiser, being around more seasoned or experienced than you? Did you hold fast to their words and now find yourself in confusion? Because their words are competing for God's will and direction in your life? So many so-called prophetic words have aborted legitimate ministry in many of us. Those who spoke them did not have the right of leadership over us. Though we took them as such, we need to repent and renounce those words, asking God to purge our minds and hoping our ears so that we can get true direction from Him, clarifying the vision He has for us. The man of God should never have second-guessed the direct word of the Lord to him. The old man was a prophet and an older person who one may defer leadership to out of respect. He was also hospitable. However, there was one important thing he was not. He was not the leader of this man of God. The old prophet was not in the man of God's chain of command. The man of God, instead of receiving the blessing of obedience, he lost his life. Because in that moment, he yielded to the leadership, to the suggestion of another. He allowed someone to speak a word that was not from God into his life, which mistakenly he obeyed. So serious was the mission God sent this prophet on, that even when God had to slay the prophet for his disobedience, he still used his death to illustrate that this man was his servant. As a sign to everyone that passed by, they saw the man of God's carcass and the lion and the donkey standing on either side of it. The lion did not devour the carcass, nor render the donkey that stood by unafraid. And all that saw it testified that surely the Lord's hand was against that place, and that his word by the man of God would surely come to pass. 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 16 through 18 says, and as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchre that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres, and buried them upon the altar, and polluted it. According to the word of the Lord, which a man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said, what title is that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is sepulchre of the man of God, which came from Judah, and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. And he said, let him alone. Let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone, with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. As we continue on this spiritual journey, our lesson for tonight was Biblical Prophetic Principles, Kingdom Authority, Part 2. I pray that it was a blessing to you. If you would like more information on tonight's lesson, or you would like to receive copies of previous lessons, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. The Word of God is mighty and powerful and is well able to profoundly influence your lives. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you enter into an eternal, unbreakable covenant with God. At that time, all of His promises are available to you if you receive them by faith. For those who have turned away from the Lord, and for those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, tonight I encourage you to join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you admitting that I am a sinner. Right now, Lord, I choose to turn away from sin. And I ask you to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross to take away my sins. I also believe that he rose again from the dead so that I might be forgiven of my sins and made righteous through faith. I call upon the name of Jesus Christ to be the Savior and Lord of my life. Lord Jesus, I choose to follow you and ask that you fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. I declare that right now I am a child of God. I am free from sin and full of the righteousness of God. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have prayed this prayer and received Jesus Christ as your Savior, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at j2gminister@gmail.com. Once again, you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. And if you had prayed this prayer and you have not accepted Jesus Christ, and you need more instructions regarding salvation and how to be saved, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30271, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some of compassion making a difference. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Thank you for tuning in and reminding you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. and be blessed by the Word of God. I am your host, Reverend Donald Davis. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the full fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with you all. Amen. God bless you as we continue on this spiritual journey.